Hi, Kirby.
Hi, Sarah.
Welcome to Los Angeles.
Welcome, Glamgelinos.
We hope you stay a while.
Cute. That's cute.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Kirby, you were watching A Walk to Remember
this weekend. Yes.
This weekend, and you pointed out Mandy Moore's hair, and I forgot how like iconic her whole look was from that movie.
No, I pointed out Daryl Hannah's wig.
Okay.
That's what I pointed out. Daryl Hannah's wigs in A Walk to Remember, they even commentate on it during the director's commentary. So like, yeah. I don't feel bad saying this, but I can't remember what she was doing, but they made her wear these atrocious wigs and they were all so bad. Apologies to whoever the hair designer was on that, but like the hair was horrible on Daryl Hannah.
Oh my.
But even Mandy Moore's hair, she looks like an infant.
It was not good.
No, but she's not, it's not supposed to be good. That at least fits her character.
Yeah. Oh my God, I need to watch that movie. It's been so long. What is Shane West up to these days?
No clue, but truly it is a walk to remember when you go back and watch it because the soundtrack is so good. Switchfoot, New Radicals.
Yeah.
That soundtrack introduced me to Dancing in the Moonlight.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The scene where he takes her to do two places at once, where he's like, put one foot here, you're crossing the state line. I remember that part. I was like, that is the most romantic thing I've ever heard of in my life.
She's literally a baby in this movie.
Oh my gosh, she totally is.
Baby Mandy Moore.
And she sings that song.
But when she's singing that song on stage, I just remember like a bunch of girls showed up to like our winter formal with their hair like that, you know?
Oh, yes. I did touch on that because I really wanted to put a brush through the hair because it was literally ringlet curls and then no styling
so tight.
At all. It was just, that's what it was.
And then the dress she was wearing was very, what was that dress? I mean, it's giving Charlotte Russe.
Totally. Christian conservative Charlotte Russe. Yeah.
Yes, totally. Oh, man. What a time, though. 2002.
You know how I know that I'm an adult is now that when I watch that movie at the beginning, when they make that kid jump off the thing, the whole time I'm going, I pray to God when I have a kid, he is not this dumb and not this impressionable.
No, totally. You're relating to the parents.
I just don't know if I want to let my kid out of the house when they can make stupid decisions like this.
Yes.
This is crazy.
We are on the other side now.
We are. We've crossed that bridge. And the scene where the girl does the Photoshop and it says Virgin Mary. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like in the lunchroom. Yes. It's the worst Photoshop ever. And she's like, is that you? Nice bod. And I'm like, this is literally a different color head. Like it's black and white head on a colored body. And everyone's like acting like it's the funniest thing ever. I'm like, if that were me, I'd be like,
I would have made fun of them.
You think this is good Photoshop work?
Yeah.
Please.
Can imagine the children now with the AI? I mean, it's bad. It's really bad.
They could really use it for evil in a high school movie.
No, they are. Like in some high schools in Beverly Hills, they're making like nudes of their classmates with AI.
Stop.
And floating them around. Yes.
See, that's going to be in a new coming of age movie.
Yeah, you're right.
Some girl gets nudes artificially generated.
Fairfax High.
Fairfax High?
Yeah, that's by you.
Wow.
I know.
Fairfax High. Get it together. Get it together.
Also Laguna Beach High.
Okay, but then the question is, could that be considered disseminating child porn?
I know. I think there's like precedence that's being set by these cases because this is uncharted territory. So it's like Laguna Beach High School investigates inappropriate AI-generated images of students.
Wow. If that were my child,
I do not wish to be.
You would not want me to be a mother of one of those children. Asses would be beat. Or if it was my child that it was happening to, I would be so happy. Every family would be terrified of me. I would sue the hell out of every single family whose child did that to my child.
Oh my God. And then it's happening in Chicago too. Jeez. Okay. We need to figure something out. This is not okay. I'm going to homeschool Zoe.
Learn morals and ethics. Morals and ethics, I think, are really important. Put everybody in journalism school at the age of like fifth grade. Let them learn a little thing or two.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Speaking of morals and ethics, do you think that it was wrong of Taylor Swift to put in a song that her mother wanted Kim Kardashian dead?
I think it is fine that she is saying that because she's sharing a past thought that her mother did not execute or act on.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's a big topic of conversation right now.
Okay. Well, just want to say one more thing. Also, though, because she is Taylor Swift and the Swifties are very intense community, they are all going to go then after Kim Kardashian, correct?
Yes. So if you have been living under a rock for like the last 5 days, Taylor Swift came out with a double album. I have many thoughts. I love a lot of the music. I do think she needed an editor. I also deeply, deeply empathize with her because it's clear she was going through something. Like she was going through something mentally. And so I'm glad she got it all out there. And I don't think we'll ever revisit this part of her life ever again. So more power to her.
Yeah, onwards and upwards.
But there's a song on the second album that was released called Thank You, Amy. And it's spelled A-I-M-E-E. And the K in thank is capitalized. And then the I-M in Amy is capitalized. So essentially, thank you, Kim. The song starts off saying there's like a bronze spray painted statue. And it basically chronicles what Taylor went through when Kim and Kanye illegally recorded and then edited that phone call and made it out to seem that Taylor gave approval of something. By the way, it was approval to say that Taylor's a bitch and that he made her famous. And she said it was okay for him to say he made her famous, I believe, but it was not okay for him to use. He never brought up the bitch part. I think that the reason why this hit her so hard for a few reasons is that she thought they were coming together and that she was also in on the joke. And then it turns out he made her the ass of a joke again.
Yep.
And then furthermore, almost completely derailed her livelihood and career. I mean, after that, people were calling her a snake and they were putting all these snake emojis in her thing. She even said, I think in her like Time Person of the Year article, that she had to go in hiding for like 2 years. Like she didn't trust anybody. She didn't talk to people on the phone because she was scared everybody was like filming or recording her in some way and going to manipulate it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, especially when you're famous, that's the thing that people, they're not understanding about this situation because everyone I talk to is everybody's over it. Okay, well, everybody else is not involved in this. It's literally Taylor and Kim. So they're the ones that get to decide when it's over. And first and foremost, as the victim, Taylor gets to decide when it's over.
100%. And like, I feel like people need to remember and put themselves in her shoes. Like what he did starting from like the MTV VMAs.
2009, yeah.
She was so young and a fan of Kanye's at the time. Yeah. And then for him to do that, so embarrassing, obviously, number one, and it's just so traumatizing. So like, yes, let's let her, if this is her life, but like that affected her so deeply, why would she be over it? Why can't she express herself?
And people are like, why isn't she over it? She talked about it in that article. Yeah, she was dropping little tea leaves to remind people that when this album came out, that this was not over yet. And I think now that this is out, it is over.
Yeah.
But there's a ton of conversation online about this Kim line with her mother, Andrea. She's like, people know my mom to be a saintly woman, but she wished that you were dead. And honestly, like, if you're a mother, I think I understand where if somebody has hurt and traumatized your child so badly that you probably do think thoughts like that. Not like you would act on them or you truly wish that they were gone, but
exactly.
I see where she was saying it. But I also am kind of like, that is somebody's mom. And Taylor understands what it's like to almost lose your mom because her mom went through cancer. So for me, I'm just like, girl, maybe some of this should have been kept in the journal. But overall, I am kind of glad that she put this song out because, you know, I love my dear sweet Skimberly.
No, of course.
I'm not going to call them my mothers because I just realized that is such a weird effing thing to say about two grown women. Like I'm both of their ages almost. But I am equally as big of a fan of Taylor as I am Kim. So it is hard to see when they're fighting, but it's a Sagittarius and a Libra, and it's, you're just never going to get harmony with the Sagittarius and a Libra.
I wonder what Taylor's mom felt about that.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, I'd be like, baby girl, why did you put that out for the world? Like, did Andrea get a demo of the actual lyric? Because I would have been like, sweetie, I think I need you to take this out.
But maybe she was like, no, I still hate that woman. Put it in the song.
Yeah,
you want, put it in the song. You want me to say it?
I will stand up with you. You're, I'm the only one standing
I'll sing back
you
up on this.
Lord.
Also, I think it's hilarious that you pointed out that Ami song is catching heat because the name of the song.
Y'all, there is a whole TikTok about this. So somebody goes, you know, Taylor does everything intentionally, which is like why I have very specific viewpoints on this album, because it's like she does not do anything without a ton of forethought. And this girl goes, why did she spell Amy that way? Like, that's like not a normal name. That's not a normal spelling of Amy. So she looks it up. She looks up Amy spelled A-I-M-E-E and Kim Kardashian. And what pops up? Ami song of Song of Style. It's like an image on Getty or something.
Yeah.
It's like old Kim and like Ami early in her career. They're taking a picture at something. The date is July 16th or July 17th, something. The photo was taken the day before or the day after Kim released that clip of Taylor on the phone.
It's so weird.
And so everyone's like, what does this Ami song have to do with this whole situation? Was she a part of the releasing of the video? And Ami's like, I literally just took a picture. I went up to Kim and said, can we get a photo together at this event? That's all I did.
I do not want to be part of this narrative.
Ami catching strays from this vendetta against Kim. Oh my God. No, not Ami.
Not Ami. Poor Ami.
Ami's like, I'm pregnant. Leave me alone.
She's like, I'm 6 months pregnant right now. Yeah. I need you all to.
Right. She's like, please leave me out.
The last thing you want to be is on the side against the Swifties. So don't get on their bad side.
Totally. To quote Taylor, Ami's like, please excuse me from this narrative immediately.
Please. Let's talk about some news. This is not new news by any means. Just a reminder to everyone. Coconut oil is not a good use for sun protection. I just had to say it because apparently Kristen Cavallari of Laguna Beach fame has a podcast called Let's Be Honest. And a clip from an episode that actually aired in January has resurfaced. And she interviews this man named Dr. Ryan Moynihan of Peaceful Mountain Medicine, who is credited in the episode description as taking a quote-unquote non-pharmaceutical approach to all aspects of health. He is a functional and Eastern medicine doctor, but I do not believe he actually has gone to medical school. So I'll just say that. And she has him on the podcast. And she's like, I want to discuss the sun and sunscreen, which I know is controversial because she doesn't wear sunscreen, which Kristen has admitted before and we've talked about it. She's like, I get a lot of shit for this. So tell me like why we maybe don't need sunscreen. So then he goes in and then I'm not even going to repeat it because it's not worth repeating. Basically just saying that you don't need to wear sunscreen. And as an alternative, you can wear coconut oil. He actually recommends eating it because he says it can help prevent sunburn. So I just want to remind everyone that's not true.
Okay. And I also just do want to clarify. So I am reading his website and it says Dr. Ryan Moynihan completed his master's and doctoral degrees of Eastern medicine, summa cum laude, at Emperor's College in Santa Monica, California, and completed his functional medicine training with both the Institute for Functional Medicine and the Kresser Institute for Functional and Evolutionary Medicine. And here's the deal. That is not a medical doctor, okay? And a medical doctor typically deals with things, especially dermatologists, MDs, deal with melanoma, okay?
Right.
This is like literally their life's work. They study this, and there's Mohs surgeons, there's all of these different, you know, specialties that you can look at when you're a medical doctor working on melanoma. I know Sarah is very passionate about this subject because at Refinery, they are working very closely to eradicate things like tanning beds and things like that that do cause skin cancer. And she probably has a lot more stats off the top of her head than I do. I don't want to discredit functional medicine.
No, not at all.
I believe very strongly that functional medicine has helped a lot of people. And especially when I was struggling with a lot of my health issues and I was going to doctors week after week and couldn't figure anything out, some of the only things that helped me were things like acupuncture and going and taking, you know, certain supplements and working with a functional medicine doctor. So
yes,
that's not what we're saying here. But what we are saying is that
this man is not certified to be speaking about melanoma or skin protection in regards to the sun.
Correct. And I feel that it is a disservice. You know, if you're listening to Kristen's podcast, you probably love the banter. You probably love her personality and, you know, her speaking her mind. For me personally, there's so much evidence against what this conversation is saying. And I know that she just doesn't wear sunscreen. She doesn't like it for whatever reason. But the fact that she's even promoting against it is very bizarre to me. Because if it were me and I'm just not into it, I would just be like, well, I'm not going to talk about it then.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you want to wear sunscreen and that's fine. I don't. And that, like, whatever, it's your prerogative. But I think to just go full out and like claim, like it's getting into weird, like QAnon territory over there, meaning that it's lying on conspiracy theories. In my opinion, it's like, well, you can use coconut oil because, and it's like, there's literally no proof at all that coconut oil does anything. And by the way, don't use coconut oil. Just don't. It's comedogenic. It'll clog your pores. Like, just don't do it.
I totally agree with everything that you're saying. And my big thing is just that Kristen has such influence and she has so many followers. Even though I think a lot of people are very educated on this subject, she is still someone that can, you know, say something and convince someone otherwise. So like, it's just irresponsible for her to be using her platform to share this. Like, it's dangerous.
I would be scared if I were her to say this and platform it, and then somebody uses that as an excuse not to use sunscreen and to only depend on coconut oil, and then that person develops cancer.
Exactly.
I feel like that's a lawsuit waiting to happen. And if I, whoever, whatever network she's on, I would be like, this is not going live. Like, I'd be like, sorry, the risk is not worth the reward of you speaking your mind on this and how you personally feel. Also, the thing is Kristen Cavallari is not a journalist. Like, sure, she can interview a person, but it's not like she's coming at it from a scientific point of view or even knows the right questions to ask. It's basically platforming somebody that she already agrees with, and it serves her own confirmation bias. So
yeah,
can we just wear sunscreen? Summer's coming up, and I have been loving
so many incredible formulations. Are you going to say the shake stick? What is it called?
Shake Shake.
Shake Shake. Oh my God.
Shake Shake from vacation.
The smell? Oh my God. It's so good.
I don't even realize the smell.
I feel like vacation always nails it with obviously everything, but like the scent of their sunscreens are just so good to me because it's nostalgic, but then it's not synthetic or, you know what I mean? Like, it's just so good. It smells like my memories.
Sarah, share your top three facial sunscreens right now.
Okay. Beauty of Joseon, always.
Okay.
I'm currently using, like, what is it called? Just the OG one, like the moisturizer one.
Okay.
I also have the stick that I like to reapply, the matte sun stick. I also really like the In Beauty Project, the Mineral Sun Glow. This is so beautiful. I'm using Fair Medium. And then I actually was testing this out and I really like it. It's the Glossier Invisible Shield SPF 50.
I have not tried that yet. Super cute.
It's a gel sunscreen. I don't usually like gel sunscreens because I feel like it makes me feel oily. The texture for gel sunscreens, I feel like, are not very elegant sometimes, but this one is really nice and it dries down really beautifully. So you just don't feel it. And it's SPF 50. So I can't complain about that. So those are my three right now.
My three right now, Shake Shake by Vacation. And I have a code, Kirby Approved SPF, will get you, I believe, 15% off of your order.
Ooh.
Yeah. People have been utilizing that. So I'm excited for them. I love the packaging. It reminds me of the 80s. I love the flip cap.
Me too.
Perfect.
It's like perfect application. It's not spilling everywhere.
Right. Love it. And even though it's a mineral sunscreen and it takes me a minute to rub it in, it does completely disappear on me. If you do have a deep, dark skin tone, this will likely give you a light cast, but it's probably not going to be as intense as other mineral sunscreens. I am still die hard for ultraviolet. Ultraviolet is incredible. I used to be a diehard for Supreme Screen, the one that's in the yellow cap, but I had bought their mineral mattifying. It's called Lean Screen. And I was like, okay, I'm going to give this one a shot. And I think I like it better than the Supreme Screen because it does mattify my skin and it gives that mineral coverage. So big fan of that. That one at this time, you can only buy it at like Cult Beauty or Harrods online, or if you're traveling abroad, that's where you can get it. And then my last one, I'm trying to think of what I have, like, because I have a bunch, you know, because I went to Singapore, I have a bunch of ones from over there. So the Biore Aqua Riche obviously is an OG that everybody loves. That is like a gel cream. So if you like that type of thing, great. This is not an Asian sunscreen, but I love Super Goop's Play sunscreen. I'm not an unseen sunscreen girl. I really can't get into that formula. It feels a little too silicone-y for me, but the Play, it has this beautiful, beautiful lotion-y texture. And I even like that one for the body and the pump because it's so easy to dispense.
Me too. And it lasts you a really long time. Like it'll last you a year. Even if you have like, we have it by the door, we use it on the kids. It's just, it's such a good investment. I really want you to try the Glossier one because I feel like I agree with you with the unseen sunscreen. It's like a little bit too silicone-y. But this one, for I think they really figured it out. Got to get you to try it.
Perfect.
We want to know what sunscreens you all are wearing right now. Share your picks with us. Call the hotline. You know the number. Because I don't.
424 something. We never remember it, but trust us, 5-year anniversary is coming up, y'all. We're going to get a vanity line. And I want it to be like 1-800-GLAM. That's what I want it to be. So
let's do it.
Let's hope we can make that work.
Okay, Kirby, tell me about this new bill.
Okay. So there is a new bill from Assemblymember Alex Lee here in California that is to protect children from potentially harmful skincare products. So this is essentially a response to the Sephora tweens, which it seems like people just love talking about this. It's never going to die. I feel very proud of us that we really hopped on this like at the beginning. I remember people were like, this is not happening. Friends, it was happening and it's still happening.
We had Tiffany on to talk about it.
Tiffany Masterson, founder of Drunk Elephant. Yep. We had her on to talk about that they've never advocated this to children, that it just happened. There are products that they have that are very suitable for kids and young skin, obviously not including retinoids or acids. But this particular bill, it's called AB 2491. It'll ban the sale of anti-aging cosmetic products to kids under the age of 13. So this is what Assemblymember Lee says. Social media has kicked off a trend of children using anti-aging products with powerful active ingredients that may be harmful. We're seeing this on both the national and international level. AB 2491 protects our youth from unnecessary risks of using products that are not suitable for their skincare needs. These anti-aging products offer no benefit to children and preteens. And the bill will ban the sale of over-the-counter cosmetic products to children under the age of 13 that are advertised to address skin aging and contains either of the following ingredients: vitamin A and its derivatives, including retinol, and alpha hydroxy acids, including glycolic acid, ascorbic acid, and citric acid. So I have a few questions, and I know that they interviewed Assemblymember Lee, so we will play that clip in a second. But for me personally, I know that retinoids and certain vitamin A derivatives are used to help with acne for teens.
Mm-hmm.
So where does that leave products like Differin? Because Differin is over the counter.
Yep. It has adapalene.
It has adapalene in it.
Is a form of a retinoid. Yep. And it is like probably one of the most popular products among teens who are experiencing acne or breakouts where they don't have to go to, you know, a dermatologist and get something much more intense, and they're super happy with the results. So yeah, I feel like, what about those products?
And what about glycolic acid, ascorbic acid, citric acid? These are all acids that are less aggressive than these benzoyl peroxides that we grew up with that were in all these acne products that were drying out our skin.
I just want to say that this is an interview with ABC 7 News Bay Area, and we'll link to the clip if you want to watch the entire interview.
I would love to know if Assemblymember Lee spoke with not only dermatologists, but estheticians, and who all kind of was like the brain trust around putting this bill together, and why he chose those specific ingredients: vitamin A, citric acid, glycolic acid, and like the vitamin C, ascorbic acid. So based on what he's saying, you know, banning the sale under 13, and it's up to interpretation for these retailers, and not just retailers, but also these smaller brands that mm-hmm. make these products, to prohibit the sale. I think this is a lot of work, to be honest. It's like, how do you know if somebody is 13 or younger? Like, sometimes these yeah. kids look way older than they are. And I think that having to bust out an ID when they don't even have an ID, I mean, like, that's the thing. It's like, so yeah. should you bump it up to 16? Like, what if you're a kid that doesn't drive? Like, how are you verifying age on this? I just think Sephora will yeah. Be like, sorry, we're not doing this. If this is a thing, then we're banning kids in the store. Like, they're just not going to do it. But then I also wonder, Sephora is seeing a lot of traction from kids coming and shopping at their store. I wonder if they would propose to fight this.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And also, like, what's stopping the 13-year-olds from asking their parents to buy it for them, and then the parents buy it for them? Like, how do you go about to putting some guidelines on that? I think, like you said, Kirby, it's just left to interpretation. How are you going to actually regulate this bill, right? Like, if you're just saying, oh, it's up to the retailers, it's up to you guys, it's too difficult. Like, there has to be like firm guidelines and rules to be able to enact it. Like, of course, there are parts of this that like Kirby and I agree with, like children should not be using retinol on their skin.
Yeah, they shouldn't be using anti-aging products. And I think maybe there's a focus of like, if the product promotes itself as anti-aging,
yes,
figure something out there. But also, I think like parents have to step in as well and parent the child. Hopefully these kids that are 13 and younger aren't going to a Sephora or an Ulta by themselves with money to buy whatever they want.
Right. And the parents know what the children are putting on their skin and are educating them on why or why not they should be using a product.
Because it is an adult store. And we have talked about this in the past. How should Ulta or Sephora cater to this younger generation of beauty lovers? And it's like, make a gondola and everything on there. Mm-hmm. It can help with acne. It can help with all these other things. But I do think if you're getting down to banning ingredients like citric acid, glycolic acid, and vitamin A derivatives in general.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of those ingredients are used to help clear acne in younger children. So I don't know. I mean, I know that like some of you guys are thinking, well, 9-year-olds don't have acne. There are a lot more cases of children developing acne under the age of 10.
And also because we know as a fact that girls are experiencing puberty way earlier now.
Yep.
So like you said, like they're getting their periods at like 9, 10, 11 and experiencing these breakouts and acne at a much younger age. So I just don't know.
I mean, I think we can agree. Children should not be using anti-aging products, but they were showing in that video with Assemblymember Lee, Barbara Sturm and Augustinus Botter.
Yeah.
Kids don't even know what that brand is and they don't even care. Like, apologies to both of them, but they're like Drunk Elephant, Glow Recipe, Summer Fridays. And yeah, Summer Fridays does have a retinol product, but I think this opens up a door to so many other things. Should we not have kids wear blush? Like, could mm-hmm. there be ingredients in blush that they shouldn't be wearing? It opens a can of worms.
Yeah, you're right. I do like that they brought up the part about PSAs. Like, I do think that could help. Just like, maybe if you're scrolling through TikTok and there's some PSA that pops up that says, you know, anti-aging products shouldn't be used, but whatever. Or like, if there is, I don't know, signage somewhere. I don't know. I think that's fine. and I think could be helpful as a reminder. But I just don't know how they're going to enforce this.
I mean, it kind of reminds me of in Texas, there's a Texas Alcohol and Beverage Commission. And in order to enforce the law that you have to be 21 and up to buy alcohol, they will do stings around the state where they'll go to a bar with a kid that maybe looks 21 or 22, but they're really 17 or 18. And the whole thing is you're supposed to card every single person before you serve them alcohol. So if you don't card, I mean, I used to work at a restaurant. I remember one time a woman my age working in the bar, we were both 18. She served somebody a beer. That person was with an older gentleman, but that person was not 21. He was 19. And that was a sting night. And they took her out in handcuffs and she went to jail. And the crazy part was her dad was a part of that sting because he was a cop. So Jesus crazy. Christ. I know. It was crazy. Oh, it was a crazy night at La Margarita. Okay. It was a crazy night at La Margarita. But my point is if you are going to be dictating a certain age for these kids to buy things, it's like they don't even have identification unless they're carrying around a passport, if they even have a passport. You know what I mean? And like, okay, so if you are a mom bringing your kid into Sephora to buy it for them, are you going to tell the parent that they can't buy it because they have their kid with them? And then she's like, well, I'm buying it for myself. And they're like, well, how do we know that?
No, exactly. No, that's the thing. It's like, how? There's too many questions.
I'm more concerned about the ingredient stuff because I'm just like, I feel like this is getting into a really sticky situation where they're going to eliminate ingredients that could really help a lot of these kids going through puberty when it's a blanket thing like this.
Yeah.
But what do y'all think? Let us know if you know how to solve this problem. Call the hotline number that we can't remember.
Thank you everyone for listening this week. We will be back on Friday with another great guest interview.
Make sure you subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and follow us on Spotify so you don't miss any breaking beauty news or product reviews. And if you want to support us, be sure to follow us at Gloss Angeles Pod on all platforms and join our Facebook group.
Plus, find every product we recommend on our website, glossangelespod.com, as well as links to the stories and news we report each week. You can follow us, your hosts. I'm Sarah Tan, that's S-A-R-A-T-A-N, on all social platforms.
And I'm Kirby Johnson, K-I-R-B-I-E, on all social platforms.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.